Itinerary starting at Placid Gormish de Shera, Gormish de Shera Square. This itinerary covers two districts, the Historic District and the Baisha District. In the Historic District, the past is present on every corner, blending seamlessly with modern life and bringing the city's traditions into today's world. Meanwhile, the Baisha District offers a full sensory experience where traditional and contemporary flavors meet in a variety of iconic venues. The journey begins at Prasa Gormish de Shera, also known as Prasa de Shleonish, the square home to the rectorate of the University of Porto. Here, you can explore the university's history and the art of bookbinding. One of the museum's rooms highlights the literary legacy of Cervantes y Don Quixote. The Natural History Museum of the University of Porto showcases collections on geology, botany, mineralogy, and more. The Ferreira da Silva Laboratory offers a journey through time, displaying instruments and publications from the early 20th century. Facing the Font de Leões, you'll find the azulejo, traditional Portuguese tiles, panel adorning the Igreja do Carmo, Carmo Church. Let's head towards the Carlos Alberto Theatre. Its name evokes the King of Sardinia who died in exile in Porto. We continue to the Banco de Materiais, Bank of Materials, in Praça Carlos Alberto, Carlos Alberto Square, where you can explore a variety of decorative and architectural elements, including azulejo and stucco pieces. We return to Praça Gormish de Shera and head towards the Igreja dos Carmelitas, Carmelite Church, designed by Nicolau Nazzoni, which stands beside the Igreja do Carmo. The side facade of this church is adorned with a traditional azulejo panel and is accompanied by the Museu da Ordem do Carmo, Museum of the Carmo Order. The itinerary then leads to the Museu do Centro Hospitalar do Porto, Museum of the Porto Hospital Center, home to a 19th century apothecary, offering a fascinating journey through time. Next, we visit the Museu do Conflito, Museum of Conflict, housed in the Palácio da Justiça, Palace of Justice, where visitors can admire its artistic interior and explore collections related to significant historical trials. We continue to the Igreja de São José dos Taipas, Church of St. Joseph of Taipas, which holds the 1845 Pont dos Barcos tragedy painting and the city's oldest nativity scene, an 18th century masterpiece from the Machado de Castro school. The Mosteiro de São Bento de Vitória, Monastery of St. Benedict of Vitória, one of the city's most important religious buildings, is located near Porto de Olival, the site of Porto's former Jewish district. Next door, you'll find the Centro Português de Fotografia, the Portuguese Center of Photography, and the historic Cadeia da Relação, the city's former prison. Now, it's time for a break at Jardim João Chagas Garden, commonly known as Jardim da Cordoeria, where you can admire the striking sculptures of Joan Munoz. The route continues to the Igreja e Torre dos Clérigos, Clérigos Church and Tower, designed by Nicolau Nazzoni. The church features an oval-shaped floor plan richly decorated with Joannine-style gilded woodwork. The Clérigos Tower, standing 75 meters high with 225 steps, offers breathtaking 360-degree panoramic views over the city. Crossing the street, we reach Jardin des Oliveres, Oliveres Garden, an urban green space spanning 4,500 square meters with 50 olive trees, located above Paseo dos Clérigos, an outstanding example of urban renewal. Finally, in the Baixa district, we visit Livraria Lelo, Lelo Bookshop, widely regarded as the most beautiful bookshop in the world. Its iconic staircase is the shop's most emblematic feature. Attractions. 1. Praça Gomes Teixeira, Praça dos Leões, Gomes Teixeira Square, Lions Square. Praça Gomes Teixeira, also known as Praça dos Leões, has had several names throughout its history. Originally called Largo do Carmo, Carmo Square, due to its proximity to the Convento de Nossa Senhora do Carmo, Convent of Our Lady of Carmo, it was later renamed Campo dos Meninos Orfãos, as it stood in front of the Colégio dos Meninos Orfãos, the school for orphans. It then became known as Praça do Pan, Bread Square, or Praça da Feira do Pão, Bread Market Square, as bread, flour and cereals were sold there from the 17th century onwards. In 1835, it was renamed Praça dos Voluntários da Rainha, Queen's Volunteers Square, in recognition of the military regiment stationed there. At the start of the 20th century, following the establishment of the University of Porto, it became Praça da Universidade, University Square, before finally being renamed Praça Gomes Teixeira, in honour of the university's first rector. Despite its many names, the square is best known as Praça dos Leões, a nickname inspired by the fountain adorned with lion sculptures at its centre. We're in a large open space surrounded by historical buildings. In the centre is a fountain about 8 metres in diameter and 6 metres high. It consists of an octagonal granite tank with rounded rims and a cast iron fountain. Dark in colour, between metallic grey and green, aged by time and humidity. The fountain, as a whole, is made up of several decorative levels, with bowls, mythological figures, and ornamental elements. The central figures, which give the fountain and the square their name, four winged lions, are arranged crosswise over the tank. The water gushes out from their open mouths. They sit on their hind legs and have their wings spread, giving them a serene but imposing appearance. A central column supports two overlapping basins. The water is discharged from the lower, larger basin through four openings, which are like the flowers of a lily. 2. Reitoria da Universidade do Porto, Rectorate of the University of Porto. The Rectorate of the University of Porto was designed by Carlos Amarante and is a classical, rectangular-shaped building. Built in 1803, it has a history filled with significant events. The building's interior reflects this rich past, with remarkable features such as the Fundo Antigo Library, the Salão Nobre, Grand Hall, the courtyards, the Natural History Museum of the University of Porto, and the Ferreira da Silva Laboratory. In 1911, the building housed the Faculty of Sciences, and today it is home to the Rectorate, the Natural History and Science Museum of the University of Porto, and the Ferreira da Silva Laboratory. It's a grey granite building inspired by classical and Roman architecture, with clear, straight lines and very harmonious symmetrical geometry. It has columns and pediments, which are triangular or semicircular elements placed at the top of the building to round off its construction. It is a three-story building with the facade divided into five large sections, the central one being the main entrance to the building. At street level, these sections have arches with carved iron gates. There are 13 arches and 13 gates, above which are 13 glass doors and, above them, 13 windows. In the center section, posters advertising the events taking place fall over the glass doors on the first floor. In the center of the building, four plain undecorated columns, so-called Doric columns, support a triangular pediment. There, we find the university's coat of arms, topped by the royal crown. University of Porto, under the triangle, indicates the building's purpose. 3. Museu de Historia Natural da Universidade do Porto. Natural History Museum of the University of Porto. The Natural History Museum of the University of Porto, MHNC/UP, is located within the historic building of the Rectorate of the University of Porto, briefly described above, and includes the Biodiversity Gallery and the Botanical Garden of Porto. It holds a valuable collection across various fields, including geology, paleontology, zoology, botany, featuring the University of Porto Herbarium, archaeology, ethnography, physical anthropology, numismatics, and sciences such as physics, mathematics, and chemistry. The museum also boasts an extensive collection of nautical charts, photographs, films, and manuscripts. Among its most significant exhibits are specimens of extinct species collected in Portugal and its former colonies during the 19th century and early 20th century. 4. Laboratório Ferreira da Silva. Ferreira da Silva Laboratory. The Ferreira da Silva Laboratory, also located within the Rectorate of the University of Porto, briefly described above, and offers a true journey through time. It preserves instruments and publications from the early 20th century, which played a key role in advancing education, research, and community services, particularly in the fields of food fraud prevention and forensic toxicology. The laboratory has a rich history, including links to the infamous crime on the Rua das Flores, a series of murders on the aforementioned street that occurred at the end of the 19th century, and provides insight into the work of Professor Ferreira da Silva. 5. Teatro Carlos Alberto. Carlos Alberto Theatre. The Carlos Alberto Theatre, inaugurated in 1897, was named in honour of King Charles Albert of Sardinia. Since its owning, it has been a dedicated space for performances and cultural events. The building has been reconstructed to provide a white facade and black stains that give it a grey tone. It has three glass doors on the main facade and eight at various heights on the right side of the facade. A glass box at the top of the building rests on the concrete block that forms the building's main structure. This combination creates an essential image of meeting and intersection of aesthetic expressions. 6. MBDP, Banco de Materiais, Materials Bank. The Banco de Materiais is housed in the Palacete dos Viscondes de Balsamão, Mansion of the Viscounts of Balsamão. Built in the 18th century by José Alvo Brandão. It was later acquired by the first Viscount of Trinidad and took on its present appearance. The site holds a diverse collection of decorative and architectural elements from Porto, including azulejos, traditional Portuguese tiles, stucco pieces, and objects made of wood, iron, and stone. It is a white masonry building with expressive rectilinear stonework in light grey granite around the white windows and the dark coloured door. The building is flanked by stone columns identical to the stonework. 7. Igreja do Carmo, Carmel Church, a Museu da Ordem do Carmo, Carmo Order Museum. The Igreja do Carmo, built in the 18th century, is one of the finest examples of Rococo architecture in Porto. Its facade was covered in 1912 with an azulejo panel paying tribute to Our Lady. The Museu da Ordem do Carmo offers guided visits to the catacombs, which house silver artifacts and relics, as well as exhibitions featuring paintings, sculptures, furniture, and textiles. Visitors can also climb to the church rooftop for a panoramic view of the city. The facade is very decorated and bright in light grey granite. The entrance is to a large rectangular door, flanked by niches with sculptures of the prophets Elijah and Elisha. Saint Anne is in a central glazed niche, teaching the Virgin to read and surrounded by two angels. The balcony and stonework on the facade are also richly detailed with garlands of flowers and vases. At the top, we have the emblem of the Third Order, representing Mount Carmel, surrounded by three stars and the crown of Our Lady at the top. Higher up is the Cross of Christ, with statues of the Gospel writers Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, two on each side. All the statues are sculpted in marble. The side wall of Carmo Church is covered with more than 11,000 blue and white tiles. This huge panel depicts the foundation of the Carmelite order. The life-size figures of the Carmelite monks have their faces raised and hands in prayer, with slightly flowing robes. Our Lady of Mount Carmel, giving the scapular to Saint Simon Stock, is the standout scene. The panel is dated 1912, designed by Silvestre Silvestri and painted by Carlos Branco in Vila Nova de Gaia. 8. Igreja dos Carmelitas, Carmelite Church. The Igreja dos Carmelitas was built in the 17th century, while its classical facade, attributed to architect Nicolau Nazzone, dates from the 18th century. The church's main altarpiece is one of Porto's most significant Rococo wood carvings. The facade is more austere than Carmo Church. It is made of grey granite with a simple arch portal flanked by Corinthian columns. In the centre are three doors with green iron railings. The central door is the entrance to the church. They are all topped by semicircular arches. Three sculptures in niches are above these three doors. The sculpture of Our Lady of Mount Carmel stands out in the centre, reflecting her role as Queen and Mother of the Order of Mount Carmel. To the left of the Virgin is Saint Joseph, with Jesus on his lap. On the right, Saint Teresa of Jesus with a book, symbolizing the legacy of her mystical writing. Above this, the middle part of the facade is decorated with three large windows, aligned with the lower part. The central window is rectangular, and the side ones are semicircles with the outer corners cut off. The upper part is topped with a triangular pediment featuring the Carmelite coat of arms. At the top is a cross flanked by six pinnacles. The bell tower, with its square base, is covered in blue and white tiles from the first floor upwards and ends in a bulb-shaped dome. It is taller than the facades. 9. Museu do Centro Hospitalar do Porto. Step into the historic apothecary of Hospital de Santo Antonio, Santo Antonio Hospital, a space with over 200 years of history. The museum showcases antique pharmacy cabinets, glass vials, tinctures, formula books, and other objects related to 19th century therapies. Another section of the museum is dedicated to the pharmacy of Joaquín Urbano Hospital, highlighting the history of this hospital, which specialized in infectious and pulmonary diseases, as well as key medical figures and advancements. This building of great historical value is in an imposing neoclassical architectural style, just like the building of the rectorate of the university. The use of granite throughout the building gives it an austere and monumental appearance, compatible with the hospital's function and the specific tastes of the 18th century. The building's U-shape, with two- or three-story facades, forms a broad quadrangle around the central courtyard. The main facade, which faces Professor Abel Salazar Square, has a symmetrical horizontal structure with three visible stories. The main entrance is marked by a central block that protrudes from the rest of the building. This central block evokes a Roman temple, as it has a classic triangular pediment at the top, supported by six Ionic columns and two fluted pilasters. A balcony with wrought iron railings is below the columns and above the main door. The facade itself is not very decorated, in keeping with neoclassical taste, but it displays meticulous symmetry, clean lines, and harmonious proportions. There is a statue of Hippocrates to the right, in a niche in the side block, in tribute to the father of medicine. The windows are rectangular and symmetrical, regularly arranged over the three stories. Those on the ground floor are smaller and more sheltered, while those on the first floor are larger and more elegant. 10. Museu do Conflito. Museu Judiciário do Tribunal da Redação do Porto. Conflict Museum, Judicial Museum of the Court of Appeal of Porto. Located in the Palácio da Justiça, Palace of Justice, near the Igreja e Torre dos Clérigos, Clérigos Church and Tower, the museum houses a remarkable artistic collection featuring bas-reliefs, paintings, tapestries, and sculptures. It explores historical themes and landmark legal cases, including those of Camilo Castelo Branco, Ana Plácido, Zé do Telhado, and Urbino de Freitas. It is a granite building, monumental and imposing in its appearance and size. The building has a total roofed area of 3,600 square meters, spread over seven floors, three of which are below the main entrance. It can be appreciated from various perspectives due to the differences between the building's various sectors, which dance with each other in harmony, making this one of Porto City's landmark buildings. There are 10 columns, side by side, and three floors at the imposing entrance to the building. We can see on the upper floor a square window between each pair of columns. On the second floor, there are only three windows to the left and three to the right. In the center, there are five 3-meter tall granite statues by Salvador Belata Feu, which represent the sources of law, jurisprudence, custom, law, natural law, and doctrine. This scheme is repeated on the floor below. Below the statues, there are five decorated black metal doors that allow us to see part of the building's interior. The entrance to this section of the building is via a set of steps. 11. Igreja de São José de Taipas. São José de Taipas Church. Built between 1795 and 1878 in a neoclassical style, the Igreja de São José de Taipas, Church of St. Joseph of Taipas, was designed by Carlos Cruz Amarante. The original chapel, dating back to 1666, houses the 1845 Ponte dos Barcos tragedy painting and the city's oldest nativity scene, an 18th century masterpiece from the Machado de Castro school. The church also features a painting from the German school and a museum with catacombs located in the presbytery. The building's facade has a sober but imposing style. It's built of light grey granite, which gives it a rough and rugged texture to the touch, typical of Portuguese neoclassical architecture. On the left-hand side of the facade is the bell tower, covered in blue and white tiles with a geometric pattern. At the base of the tower is a dark wooden door. On the same level, and on the level above, there are two vertical windows with bars. The bell is visible through the four openings at the top. The tower is capped with a small pinnacle. The church doors in the center are tall and imposing. They are made of sturdy dark wood. A vertical window with a rounded top and stained glass is above the door on the second level. The church is topped by a triangular pediment with a small round window and a cross at the apex. The right side of the facade has no doors or windows. It's a solid, flat wall with a pinnacle at the top. 12. Mosteiro de São Bento de Vitória. São Bento de Vitória Monastery. The Mosteiro de São Bento de Vitória is one of Porto's most important religious buildings. Located within the old city walls, near Porta do Olival, Olival Gate, it was once part of the city's former Jewish quarter. Built from 1608, it is constructed from granite. During the Peninsular War in 1808, the monastery was converted into a military hospital. In 1835, following the extinction of religious orders, it was repurposed as a courthouse and prison, and later also served as a military barracks. The church is an imposing building, built of granite in the classical style, with harmony, solidity, and balanced proportions. Its main facade, entirely of stonework, has three levels separated by projecting cornices and several blocks rhythmically framed by pilasters. On the first level, there are five openings with four arches closed off by railings. The central one is the largest. Above them, on the second level, are two windows with a circular pediment and, in the center, two niches with triangular pediments and one niche with a circular pediment containing images of Saint Scholastica, Saint Benedict, and Saint Gertrude the Great. The third level is narrower with a curved side finish, divided by a large semicircular window. There is a circular pediment with a niche above a cornice containing an image of Our Lady of Victory. Two square bell towers made of stone are set back from the facade. These have double pilasters and are crowned by domes. The convent building is made of plastered masonry. It has four floors, regularly divided by windows. 13. Centro Português de Fotografia, the Portuguese Centre of Photography. The Centro Português de Fotografia, CPF, is housed in the former Cadeia de Redação, a historic prison built in 1767. This prison was an important detention centre where notable inmates such as Zé do Telhado and Camilo Cachel Branco were once held. The CPF features a permanent collection of antique cameras, a specialist library, and a range of temporary exhibitions. The building is imposing and austere, with a robust stone facade. It's shaped like a trapezoid, almost like an elongated parallelepiped. It has three visible floors. It has 14 windows on the first floor and a door in the center with a pointed arch. This door is preceded by a set of steps and a ramp on the side of the steps. The floor is covered in dark granite. The other two floors are clad in yellow and have 15 windows. In the center of these two upper floors is a large sign indicating CPF, Centro Português de Fotografia, the Portuguese Photography Center. On the side, to the left, at the top of the trapezoid, is a granite fountain decorated with a flower in the center and two side columns. Above, five half columns support an ornate balustrade with an iron railing and a door in the center framed by carved granite stonework. 14. Jardim João Chagas, Jardim da Cordoaria, João Chagas Cordoaria Garden. The Jardim João Chagas, also known as Jardim da Cordoaria, was created between 1865 and 1866 by the German landscape architect Emil David. The name Cordoaria comes from the ropemakers who worked here for over 200 years. The garden features statues of Ramalho Ortegão and Antonio Nobre, as well as sculptures by Juan Mumuche, including The Abduction of Ganymede. It's an unfenced green space, bordered by wide gravel paths, cobblestones, and lawns. It has a triangular shape and covers an area of approximately 2 hectares, the equivalent of 2 football pitches. There is a lake surrounded by green shrubs. The lake in the center, with its irregular outline, has greenish water. It looks like a continuation of the greenery that surrounds it. The path round it follows the outline of the lake. There are clumps of flowers and the trees are leafy. Igreja e Torre dos Clérigos, Clérigos Church and Tower. 50. Igreja, Church. The Igreja dos Clérigos, a Baroque masterpiece by Nicolau Nazzoni, was built between 1732 and 1749. It has an oval-shaped floor plan and is decorated with Joannine-style gilded woodwork. The high altar, in the Rococo style, is crafted from marbles in 4 different colours. One of Porto's most beautiful and important churches, it showcases a unique combination of granite, marble, and gilded woodwork. The facade is relatively narrow, which emphasizes its height and monumentality. It is built of dark granite, richly decorated and carved, preceded by a double set of steps with crossed flights that give access to the center door. Above this is a large window and two side windows. In the upper area, there is a window flanked by two niches with stone images of St. Peter and St. Philip Neri, capped by various rich decorations. The decorative work reaches its peak on this facade and is perhaps the most Baroque expression of the entire building. At the top is the three-barred papal cross and Mary's monogram, also in granite. 60. Torch Tower. The Tor of des Clerides, also designed by Nicola Nazzoni, is one of Porto's most iconic landmarks. With 240 steps, the climb to the top rewards visitors with a breathtaking panoramic view of the city and the Douro River. To improve accessibility, a multi-sensory installation was created to simulate the experience of climbing the Clerigus Tower. The tower building also houses a collection of artifacts from the Brotherhood of Clerigus and the Christus Collection. The Baroque granite bell tower is 75.6 meters high, and it was, at the time of its construction, Portugal's tallest building. Tall and slender, it has an internal spiral staircase of more than 200 steps. The tower's architectural language is quite original, and the carillon is one of the largest in the country. The entrance doors on the front facade, topped by a niche with the image of St. Paul. At the top is an iron cross. The tower marks, to this day, the silhouette of downtown Porto and is visible from anywhere in the city centre. 17. Jardim das Oliveiras, Oliveiras Garden. The Jardim das Oliveiras stands 4,500 square metres and is home to 50 olive trees. Located in the city centre, it offers stunning views of the Tor dos Clérigos, Livraria Lelo, and the Rectorate of the University of Porto. The garden is a remarkable example of successful urban renewal. It sits above the Passeio dos Clérigos zone like an elevated garden, suspended like a green carpet over the city. 18. Livraria Lelo, Lemon Bookshop. The Livraria Lelo, inaugurated in 1906, is one of Porto's oldest and most beautiful bookshops. Its neo-Gothic facade and iconic red staircase are among its most famous features. More than just a bookshop, it hosts cultural events, exhibitions, and artistic installations, always keeping books at the heart of its activities. The facade stands out for its large central window, divided into three sections with geometric frames. There is one female figure on each side, art on the left, with a bust in her hand, and science on the right, holding a skull and tweezers. Both are framed by pointed arches. Lelo e Amal is written under the window in red and gold letters on a blue-grey band with geometric patterns. The main entrance, with a pointed arch, has a coat of arms above it and lateral display windows. 144 Livraria Chaudron is inscribed above. The entire facade is decorated with floral motifs in shades of red and grey, reflecting the Art Nouveau influence. Inside the shop, we immediately see a central staircase that splits in two, with one arch flight rising from the center to either side, culminating in a symmetrical balcony on the first floor. The spiral curves, when seen from above, evoke an exotic flower or the sinuous body of an anchor.